Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, I want to read the first five verses of this chapter as we begin our study, our first study this Lord's Day. We are going to resume our series in looking at doctrine that makes us different. What are some things that we believe that cause us to be different than the churches around about us? Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. It's that observing of days that I wanted to bring to our attention as we talk about the subject, the topic of celebrating holidays. One thing that makes the Lord's church distinctive from the denominations is that we do not observe religious holidays. Some churches around us, perhaps many churches around us, have special services at Christmas time and at Easter. We see they announce that they have special programs or bazaars, passion plays, egg hunts, trunk or treat, and the list goes on and on. We don't. Why not? Why don't we do this? So we're going to talk about that in the time that we have in this hour, and I also want us to spend some time talking about whether or not it's okay for Christians, not the church, but Christians individually to observe these holidays in a non-religious manner. So we're going to bring that question in to this study this morning. So we're going to talk about celebrating holidays. Let's start by talking about holidays. Holidays are generally a fun time. We get a break in our routine. Now, as I'm getting older and grouchier, I don't like the break in my routine as much as I did when I was younger and I wanted a break. But we get that break in our routine. One person talked about holidays, that they are a time of relaxation. I'm guessing he never made Thanksgiving dinner before. But a break from your secular job, then yes, there would be some relaxation there perhaps. It's a time of visitation. If all things are as they should be, that's a good thing to visit with extended family. It's a time to keep family traditions or to pass these traditions on to the next generation. And it is a time to make great memories. As I look back at my childhood, some of the best memories, as I recall, are around holiday times. And maybe that is true for you as well. Well, there is a Christian calendar of holidays. I didn't realize that until studying for this lesson. There are several so-called Christian holidays. We have Advent. Advent is a time of preparation for Christmas. It starts four Sundays before Christmas. And of course, you've got Christmas, December 25th, which religiously is observing the birth of Christ. Epiphany happens on January 6th. This commemorates the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. Lent ushers in a number of religious holidays. Lent is this 40-day period of fasting prior to Easter. It begins with Ash Wednesday. As it draws to a close, you have Palm Sunday, which is the Sunday before Easter, Good Friday, which I've never understood why it's called Good Friday. But that is supposed to commemorate the day that our Lord was crucified. And of course, Easter Sunday is the resurrection of Christ. In the West, Easter occurs on the first Sunday after the first full moon after spring equinox. I hope that settles it once for all. That's why sometimes we have Easter in March, sometimes we have Easter in April. So whoever came up with that rule, that's the rule, and that's why we have Easter when we do. St. Patrick's Day is a religious holiday. It is, of course, March 17th. It commemorates the missionary who brought Christianity to Ireland. How ironic that it is celebrated by people getting drunk. But St. Patrick's Day is a religious holiday. All Saints' Day is on November 1st. That honors saints. And All Souls' Day is on November 2nd, because we don't want to leave anybody out. They're not a saint, but they're still, they've died, and we want to remember them and honor them and commemorate them. So this is just a list of holidays that would fall on the Christian holiday calendar. Some churches even refer to these as holy days for some people. Now, we are living in a secular society, and that becomes more and more secular all the time. And there are many non-believers who participate in some of these holidays in non-religious ways. But for those who are keeping these as holy days, they give these days serious spiritual and religious significance, and they observe them as a part of their faith and their religion and their devotion to God. We don't. Why not? Why don't we observe these so-called holy days or Christian holidays? Well, the answer to that goes all the way back to our first lesson in this series. There's no authority for it. There's no authority in the Scriptures for the church to observe or to engage in the religious observance of these holidays. There's no command, there's no example, there's no inference that the church in the New Testament, under the guidance of the apostles, observed any of these days. A study of church history will reveal that these days were made holy by men and not by God. These holy days or religious holidays are according to the teachings and traditions of men, and to practice them as worship offered to God is vain and is unacceptable to the Lord. Jesus, our Lord, in Matthew 15 and verse 9, quoting the prophet Isaiah, says, "And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." And those in churches around us will say, well, yes, we're worshiping God in observing this holiday, but it didn't come from God. Matthew 15, verse 9 tells us that it is vain. Now, maybe someone's hearing this for the first time, and they do observe these as religious holy days. Well, we can anticipate some questions raised by them, or maybe some reactions or some responses. So one of them, no doubt, would be the fact that they had special days and feast days in the Old Testament. They had holy days back then. Yes, indeed, they did. Remember the second lesson we studied in this series, the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant? The Old Covenant served a purpose. That purpose was fulfilled in Christ. It was nailed to the cross and it was taken away. A couple of passages I would draw your attention to in the book of Galatians. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. Now, when we read the book of Acts, we do read of the Apostle Paul and others who are observing feast days. That is, they're acknowledging these days. Paul wants to get back to Jerusalem for one of these feast days. That was a way for them to, a couple things. Number one, that was a way for them to stay connected with their Jewish brothers that they were still trying to teach and convert. Secondly, as we're standing 2,000 years removed from the first century, we can see obviously there was a break. But living through that break, no doubt, took some time for things to settle and for people to realize this is ended, this has started. But I can go to Galatians chapter 4 and I can see what the gospel teaches regarding keeping these feast days of the Old Testament. Judaizing teachers had gone into these Gentiles and were teaching them, no, 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 you're not saved yet. You've got to be circumcised and you've got to keep the law of Moses. And Paul answers that, Galatians chapter 4, verse 9, but now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. These days that the law of Moses bound upon the Israelites, you don't have to keep those. Don't let anyone bind those on you. He says the same thing in Colossians 2, 16 and 17, saying that they are a shadow of what was to come. So as you look at all those feast days, every one of them has a fulfillment in Christ. Every one of them points to Christ. Yes, there were days that were bound on God's people in the Old Covenant. That's where that belongs. Secondly, the Lord's birth and resurrection are important Bible events. Yes, they are. But they were never celebrated by Christians, and they were never celebrated by the church. You can't read that anywhere. Well, what about the shepherds? What about the wise men? They weren't Christians. No one was a Christian at that time. The church doesn't begin until 50 days after our Lord dies on the cross. So yes, when those events happened, there were people who acknowledged them, maybe even found joy in them, but we don't find the church celebrating these events. We find the church remembering our Lord's death at the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Someone says, I can read of Easter in my Bible. You're reading the King James Version. It is found in Acts chapter 12 and at verse 4 in the King James Version, translated from the Greek word Pascha, which occurs numerous times in the New Testament. Every other time, the King James Version translates it with the word Passover. And that's exactly what's happening there in Acts chapter 12. The church isn't observing Easter. Remember, Herod is trying to please the Jews. The Jews wouldn't be observing Easter, but they're observing Passover. And so he's going to wait till after Passover, and then he's going to put Peter to death. Why then does the King James Version use the word Easter? I've heard some of the arguments behind that. I've not studied that enough to satisfy me to be able to stand up here and tell you exactly why. But I can tell you that the word is the word for Passover. Every other translation I've looked at, and I've not looked at every one of them, but every other one I have looked at has Passover. King James Version is the only one that says Easter. So I would mention that as well. There's no authority. There's no authority for the church to observe these holidays. While we're here, I want to talk some about Halloween. Christy and I were asked about this just a few weeks ago. In recent years, I have seen more of a push by numerous people identifying themselves as Christians to condemn all participation in Halloween, that a Christian should not have anything at all to do with Halloween. And I don't listen to all these podcasts. I don't watch all these videos, but I've looked enough to get the gist of their reasoning. The primary reason is because of the pagan origins of the holiday of Halloween. And indeed, it is traced back to an ancient Celtic festival of Samhain. This festival marked the end of harvest and the beginning of winter. And it was believed that on All Hallows Eve, October 31st, that the boundary between the living and the dead was blurred, and that allowed some spirits to return to our realm. And so to protect themselves from this, they would light bonfires. They would dress in costumes to ward off spirits, and they would leave offerings for the dead. There's your jack-o'-lantern. There's your dressing up in costumes, and there's your trick-or-treating. All those current customs that we have with this holiday, yes, they are traced back to pagan practices. They're right about that. We're going to follow up on that in just a moment, though. Another is that this holiday is not a harmless child's holiday, but it, in fact, glorifies darkness and death and the devil. And by death, I don't mean the reality, the fact that we die, but bringing back the dead. That kind of idea. And these are things Christians shouldn't have anything to do with. The gospel of Christ opposes these things. And they're right. The gospel of Christ does oppose these kind of things. There are others who will go so far, and they're going further than I would go, in making the claim that those who participate in Halloween are opening themselves up to darkness. These would be people who believe that there's still demon possession today. And if you send your children trick-or-treating, you're opening them up to demons. And you're having them involved in occult practices. That's how far they take these things. Well, let's talk about the pagan origins of Halloween. Because maybe you've heard this too. Maybe you've had a coworker, maybe you've had a relative say, you know what? We're not doing this holiday because it's associated with paganism. Guess what? All these holidays originated in paganism. Christmas originates in paganism. The Christmas tree that is put up, the giving of gifts, those are all things that were practiced by the Norse people and by the Romans. They had a feast day. They had a pagan holiday on December 25th that in which they observed the winter solstice, but they gave credit of this to their pagan deities. And what it was an observance of the rebirth of the sun, S-U-N. Because there's the winter solstice, that's when the days get shorter, and then they begin to get longer, and they would recognize this, and oh, that's the rebirth of the sun. And they would exchange gifts, and it was a festive time. And the apostate church in that time said, okay, you've got this exciting festival going on, let's bring it into the church. Only instead of the rebirth of the S-U-N, we'll celebrate the birth of the S-O-N on December 25th. That's where that date came from. Not the Bible, paganism. Paganism. Let's be consistent. Easter, you know the word Easter is the name of a spring goddess named Oster. And she was worshipped by presenting her with colored eggs to encourage fertility in the spring. You're going to let your little ones color Easter eggs? That's paganism. That's a gift that was offered to a pagan goddess. Let's be consistent. We can step outside of holidays. I found this very interesting. Wanted to share it with you. Every day of the week, the name of that day is traced back to some form of European paganism. Some of the months of the year come from deity, pagan deities. Are we going to come up with new names for the days of the week? We're going to come up with new names. Oh, we can't call it January because that honors Janus. That's a Roman goddess. We've got to come up with another name for these days. We use it all the time. It's a part of our culture. We're not worshiping these pagan deities when we use these things in our culture. How many of you are married? How many of you have your wedding band on the ring finger of your left hand? You know where that practice came from? paganism. The Greeks and the Romans believed that your love vein ran from this finger straight to your heart. And so now we put our wedding bands on that finger. Are you a pagan? Why are you doing that? And this is the last one, and I thought this one was very interesting. Bridesmaids. You know where that practice came from? Well, today, you're either lucky or you're unlucky to be asked to be a bridesmaid. I'll let you decide that. But you've got the bride, and then you've got the bridesmaids, and they're all dressed in dresses that are part of the color scheme, but you can tell who the bride is, and you can tell who the bridesmaids are. Bridesmaids is a custom that came from a pagan practice that the bridesmaids did not dress similar to the bride. They dressed exactly like the bride with the hopes that evil spirits would go after the decoys and leave the bride alone. So today, if you're asked to be a bridesmaid, it's an honor. It's a great thing. You go back to ancient cultures, you wouldn't want anything to do with being asked to be a bridesmaid. That wasn't necessarily an honor. But that whole practice. Yeah, you'll encourage your daughter to be a bridesmaid, but and help her color eggs, and we're going to put up a tree. But no, we're not going to go trick-or-treating, because that's got paganism in it. All of it does. All I'm asking is, let's think about it, and let's be consistent. Let's be consistent in that. Today's traditions of dressing up and trick-or-treating on October 31st are far removed from the ancient pagan traditions of Halloween. But the roots are there. The roots are there, but they're also there for the Christmas tree and for the colored eggs. Elements of modern Halloween are harmless and they are fun. Some of them are dark and they are sinister and they cross a line that we cannot cross. We're wise enough to know where to keep our families at in the observance of this national holiday. And to wrap this up, let's talk about us as Christians celebrating non-religious holidays, even the ones we've talked about in a non-religious way. While the Lord's church will not observe any of these special days, individual Christians have the liberty to enjoy the customs of their surroundings, provided they are not sinful and they do not place a stumbling block before others. I believe Romans chapter 14, verse 5 addresses this very well. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. If you decide that your family's not going to do that, that's your choice and that's your conviction. If you decide that you are, that's your choice and that's your conviction. And what Romans chapter 14 tells us is that we cannot judge each other for coming to different decisions regarding these matters of opinion or personal choice or liberty. Now, we need to make sure that in observing these days, we are not leaving the impression that we're observing these as religious holidays. And some, I've heard brethren say, if you're observing it in any way, you're letting people know you observe it as the birthday of Jesus. I disagree. I disagree because I know of many people who have Christmas traditions, much like what my family enjoy, and they would take offense at you suggesting that they're observing the birth of Christ. But we need to make sure that we're not leaving that impression. We can't bind our choices on others, nor can we judge others for making different choices than ourselves regarding this particular matter. And I would, since I do have a minute left, I would like to make this observation. In my years as a Christian, I've talked to brethren who grew up in households where they didn't observe any holidays at all. None at all. And it did not have a good impact upon these individuals. when you send your child to school and they're the only one who's not wearing a Halloween costume. That's tough on that child. I had one sister in Christ tell me that every year, whenever her class would have a Christmas party, from her dad's instructions to the teacher, she had to set out in the hallway while her class was having that party. Those kind of things had a big impact, and it wasn't positive, had a big impact upon those young people as they were growing up. Rightly so, we have to tell our children no to a lot of things. Let's make sure we're not telling them no to things that aren't necessary. And I would just ask you to think about that. I appreciate your attention as we've taken a look at some things we really don't think about very often. But it is something that makes us different from many religious people around about us. Let's pray together. Righteous Father in heaven, we are thankful that you sent your Son into this world, that he died on the cross, and that he rose from the dead in victory, giving us our salvation and our hope of heaven. We pray that you would help us to honor these events in a way that glorifies you. We pray also that you would help us to be content to abide by your word, that you would give us wisdom to make the best decisions for our families as we live in this world, shining as lights in the midst of darkness. Bless us as we go on with our assemblies this Lord's Day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.